RTL Original Podcast.
Hi there, and welcome back to what I hope will be another convincing entry to the Song 2 canon. Each week, I, Stephen Stepslow, am showcasing examples of second songs that are either the best or at least most important track on an album. After a little bit of a teensy-weensy polka-dotted cheat last week, ignoring an intro, we are back on firmer footing with this week's unmistakable earworm. So, settle down, settle in, and join me as we take a look at one of the best-known songs to come out of Finland ever. We are, of course, talking about the Rasmus's absolutely huge single, In the Shadows. Released in Finland in January 2003, the biggest single from album Dead Letters achieved considerable chart success throughout Europe and Oceania, including the United Kingdom, where it reached number 3, and New Zealand, where it topped the charts, selling close to 1 million copies worldwide. And, in a rather bizarre endorsement, the song was even nominated for the Kerrang Award for Best Single in 2004. So, why is it then that In the Shadows is included on the Song 2 list of tracks TM? Well, from a personal perspective, I have never heard any other tracks by the Rasmus, even accidentally or otherwise. I am yet to hear any other song by the band be played on commercial radio stations, and I am certain that the number of units sold for its parent album Dead Letters are shifted largely on the back of this enormous song alone. And then there is the fact that it is the second song, which is kind of the point of the podcast, no? And let's make no mistake about it, In the Shadows is as big as it gets for one-hit wonders. I am aware that I am hitting a hornet's nest here with fans of the band, but it stands to reason that this is their biggest ever song, and that is despite getting in on the Eurovision action with Jezebel used as Finland's official 2022 entry. And that is, well, it's not very good, is it, really? Finishing 21st in that year's competition, out of 40. There is no denying that In the Shadows is a captivating and enigmatic composition that has resonated with fans all over the world. It hangs around in your mind far longer than it has any right to, and it came at a time when poppy hooks and sing-along choruses were a must-have accessory. The Rasmus are said to have drawn inspiration for the track from their personal experiences with introspection, feeling misunderstood, and the desire to find their own voice. The song explores the band members' struggles with self-identity and the longing to break free from societal norms. In that sense, In the Shadows was a game-changer for the Rasmus, propelling them to mainstream success and opening doors to global recognition. The song became their signature hit, helping them build a dedicated fanbase worldwide and paving the way for successful subsequent albums and tours, though none quite so heady as was experienced in the 18 months that followed the single's release. Here's a little nerd nugget for you. In the Shadows is written in the key of F minor. The chorus is based on the millennial whoop vocal pattern and is considered the earliest 21st century example of its tool in popular music. Incoming data dump here. Thanks, Wiki. Breathe in. The millennial whoop is a vocal melodic pattern alternating between the fifth note, the dominant, and the third note, the mediant, in a major scale, typically starting on the fifth, in the rhythm of straight eighth notes, and often using the wah and oh syllables. It was extensively used in 2010's pop music. The whoop did exist before, but only became ubiquitous after In the Shadows. Breathe out. Despite being released almost two decades ago, In the Shadows continues to resonate with audiences today. Its enduring popularity is a testament to the universal themes it explores and its ability to evoke emotions and introspection. The song remains a beloved anthem for those seeking solace and validation in their own struggles. When In The Shadows shot The Rasmus to international superstardom in 2003, they were already accustomed to life in the spotlight. Their first four albums, yes, four, although not globally popular, had made them stars in their homeland of Finland, giving them full rein to spend their time writing music, chasing girls, and doing all the things that young 20-somethings do when living freely on the road. In the beginning, it was so crazy because we got so famous so fast, recalls frontman Lauri Ylönen. We've lived all our life in this kind of a bubble, and I'm still in that bubble, he says. Despite enjoying the perks of their success, Lauri, an introvert by nature, was unsure how to navigate the sudden lack of privacy and anonymity. In Finland, everybody knew my face, he says, and it was sometimes not very nice to be that guy. We started very young. I was in eighth grade when we put the band together. Since I was 15, we'd been very different from the normal guys. 95% of the guys were into soccer, he says. And then there was us, who listened to Red Hot Chili Peppers and Nirvana. The Chili Peppers might not be an obvious influence to the casual ear, but they definitely inspired much of the Rasmus's earlier career. Back then, their music was less serious, less gothic, and as Lauri describes it, perhaps even a little funky. I used to have white hair and wear a white feather, he says. It was pure and nice and clean. I've always had my looks follow my feelings. By 2002, the band were yet to break out of Finland, and their formula clearly wasn't working. Fortunately, this uncertainty pushed them on to broaden their sound. Lauri's life at this time is perfectly encapsulated in the Shadows' principal themes, from light into darkness, in terms of aesthetic and the themes. As the band adopted a more gothic outlook, and from the naivety of youth into the demands and obligations of adulthood. I felt like I was dealing with more pressure, he says, dealing with more fame and starting to become more introverted. The vocalist goes on to explain, I was growing up and facing more in my life. There were more responsibilities and all the boring adult stuff I had to deal with. I was getting more aware and maybe being more afraid of things. One of the things Lauri dreaded most was impending national service in the Finnish army, a necessity for all adult men in Finland. To Lauri, it was another obstacle that endangered his chances of doing what it was that he loved so much. I just wanted to play music, he explains. Like I say in the lyrics, I have to learn to kill before I can feel safe. All these feelings that I was dealing with at that moment, I put into the song. Thankfully, Lauri managed to avoid his call-up, instead keeping the Rasmus on the road, playing shows in Finland with goth rock as him. As he began to flirt with darker influences as a way of channeling his introversion, him, frontman Ville Valo, was there to offer solace in the esoteric and consuming world of occultism, lending him books on witchcraft, magician Aleister Crowley, and other weird and mystical things. It was, as Lauri says, a bottomless pool of inspiration and worlds away from the superficiality of success, the perfect hiding spot then for an introvert. In the Shadows itself was born on the road and started off as a jam, explains Lauri. We were sound checking in Finland, and I was finishing my lunch as my bandmates were on stage. I was on a table on the other side of the hall, and the guys began playing that main riff, which made me begin to hum along in between bites of my sandwich. The song's so-called annoying hook became instantly embedded in Lauri's mind, and when the Rasmus hit the studio to record what would be their fifth studio album, Dead Letters, it blossomed. I just fell in love with it, he says. The fact there's a lot going on, but somehow it's minimalistic too. Despite Lauri's initial fascination with In the Shadows, he wasn't expecting it to be a hit. Actually, I wasn't going to put it out, he admits. I was thinking of other songs. It was the label's decision to use it as the first single. So I just went with it, and it happened to be released at the right time with other bands that were popular in the gothic pop rock scene, like Evanescence and My Chemical Romance. Dead Letters was the Rasmus's first album to be licensed for release outside Finland and Sweden, after it was picked up by two music executives in Germany who thought it might be the next big thing. The album, which would go on to define the Rasmus's style for years to come, spread throughout the country like wildfire, and was propelled around the globe by its floor-filling lead single. After its release in February 2003, In the Shadows made its way onto chart lists throughout Europe and Oceania, landing at number 3 in the UK as we've mentioned, and even taking the top spot in New Zealand. Over time, it received 6 gold and 2 platinum awards, and sold a mammoth 1 million copies. It helped make Dead Letters an international phenomenon, changing Lauri and his bandmates' lives forever. By the band's own admission, the fame they had experienced previously was nothing compared to this. It was like we had had 10 years of rehearsals in Finland, and now it was a million times more, Lauri recalls. It was crazy and hard to keep our feet on the ground, especially because we were partying a lot. But perhaps the biggest thrill of all was that the Rasmus were no longer confined to Finland. They could now go wherever they wanted. All of a sudden, we were able to play all over the world because of this one song, Lauri says. Anywhere we went, we had people waiting for us at the airport. That's crazy, and you can't prepare for that. Life escalated, the parties were bigger, the tours were longer, and the fans got crazier. In fact, some fans were so infatuated with the band that there were even rivalries between different fan groups. Our Latin American fans would get jealous if, for example, we did something for the Argentinian fan club, like a special greeting or whatever. Some fans would go fucking mad and start practicing black magic on each other. The lead singer's social anxiety had also increased at this time, leaving him again searching for something to curtail his nerves. A lifestyle of constant partying offered an effective yet temporary solution to this problem. It was cool, but also kind of dangerous, he said. I think I got used to that lifestyle too much. I saw it somehow as a kind of shield. But now I've been sober for 14 years, and it is much better for me. Back then it was wild, and we all had moments where we got to be rock stars. In the Shadows was such a success that it even had four music videos. The European Crow version, the Finnish Bandlit version, the American Mirror version, and a fourth performance version. Possibly its most well-known video is the Mirror edition, which saw the band performing inside a gothic mansion with Lauri donning his trademark black feathers. Almost 20 years on since In the Shadows sent the world into a frenzy of gothic pop and feathered hairdos, Lauri is still as much in love with the track as he was when he first heard it, and it will never leave their set lists. It's still a big song, and every time we play it, it has a massive effect on people. Whenever I hear it on the radio, it encourages me to try to be more original, as the song is so strange, which is good. It's a reminder to strive to find your own sound and voice instead of being like all the others. It still inspires me now. With its captivating lyrics and emotive melodies, In the Shadows by the Rasmus remains a timeless masterpiece that speaks to the heart of its listeners. It captures the essence of self-discovery and the longing to find acceptance and authenticity in a world that often confines and judges. The song's profound meaning and relatable themes ensure it will continue to touch the lives of individuals for years to come. In piecing together this week's episode of Song 2, in an effort to get a semi-decent record, we took in songfacts.com, Loudwire, songtext.com, songmeanings.com, genius.com, watched some, dare I say it, iffy Rock and Ring performances, and fell into a millennial whoop wormhole. Song 2 is released every Wednesday, where we have a guest from the music world tell us their thoughts on Song 2 and track listing, and also on Fridays, where we offer up another lamb to the slaughter. I mean, Song 2 cut. Please hit subscribe, have a listen to the archive examples, give us a rating, and get in touch about your views on the pod and its themes. Song 2 is researched, written, recorded, and produced by me, Stephen Stepslow, for Today Radio. Thanks for listening. Cheers.